howdy, folks, and welcome to Melody Ranch with Gene Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the long
to meet all the folks here at Melody Ranch. Johnny Bond, Pat Buttram, the Cass County Boys, the Pinafores, Carl Cotner, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. But right now, here's the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
I've got a heart as big as Texas, and it's filled with love for you. I looked around all over Texas, till I found someone so true. It always seemed the same as any other, but when you came along, it grew and grew. I've got a heart as big as Texas, and it's filled with love for you. But when you came along, it grew and grew. I've got a heart as big as Texas, and it's filled with love for you.
Well, thank you, friends and neighbors, many, many thanks. By the way, speaking for the whole Melody Ranch gang, I'd like to tell you that you're always mighty welcome at these get-togethers of ours. Believe me, we sure enjoy having you with us.
Anytime you're feeling lonely, anytime you're feeling blue, anytime downhearted, that will prove your love for me is true. Anytime you're thinking about me, that's the time I be thinking of you. So anytime you say you want me back again, that's the time I'll come back home to you.
Anytime you're thinking about me, that's the time.
Boys, here we are back in the big city again.
Thought we was just a couple of old country boys, did they, Johnny?
Yeah, Pat. Thought they could give us the old rinky-dink, did they?
Yeah, we showed them, though.
You can say that again.
Yeah. Now, what in the world are you two blabbing off about? Who did you show?
Oh, there's two slickers tried to sell me and Johnny the Holland Tunnel this morning for $50.
Oh, fine thing. You didn't buy it, did you?
Are you kidding? Not us. No, sir. We found out it had a hole in it, so we only give them 25.
That's my boys.
No kidding, no, Mr. Artery. I love the big city. It's so exciting. So full of life.
Come in.
Oh, yeah. Now, there's the neatest embalming job I ever did see. Claude.
Look, pal, we didn't ask you what happened to you. What's your name?
I just told you, Claude.
Okay, so it's Claude. What do you want?
I'm looking for Gene Autry.
Well, I'm Gene Autry. What can I do for you?
Guess. Give up?
Okay, I give up.
I write cowboy-type songs.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. For instance, ain't you ever heard my big hit, Get Off of the Stove, Grandma, You're Too Old to Be Riding the Range? And then I wrote, I didn't know my little darling had an upper plate till it came out in a conversation. Clues.
I know, Claude, but now look.
There's this one I just finished. Take me back to my home in Poughkeepsie. Missed.
Well, next time I won't miss, you see. Now, you get out of here. I'll fill you so full of lead, every time you sit down, you'll leave pencil marks.
Oh, yeah? Well, you ain't so tough.
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, yes, you are.
Oh, no, I'm not. Hey, wait a minute. Here, Junior. You don't think I'm tough, huh?
No.
Well, down where I come from, we eat barbed wire, mistaking it for spaghetti.
That's nothing. Down where I come from, we know it's barbed wire, and we eat it anyway.
Now, look here, boys. There's only one way to settle who's the toughest, and that's just to plain fight it out.
That suits me.
Suits me.
You suits me, too. All right. Now, it's every man for himself, and when I count three, the battle begins. Ready?
Ready.
All right. One, two, three.
Oh, gee, there, take this. How you like that? I'll show you. Getting smart with me, huh? There, take this. There's enough. There. Well, don't just stand there, Mr. Artery. Pick me up.
The tears from your blue, blue eyes. Skies are gray when my baby cries. Don't believe all those jealous lies. Dry the tears from your blue, blue eyes. Why are your what have I done to make you cry? Don't you know everything will turn out right? Someone told you a jealous lie. Dry the tears from your blue, blue eyes. Eyes are gray when my baby cries. Don't believe all those jealous lies. Dry the tears from your blue, blue eyes.
Well, sir, today I think we've got a yarn you're all going to like. It's about a railroad trip I took up to Pine City several years ago, where I was scheduled to appear at a Frontier Day celebration in Rodeo. The train I traveled on was a small spur line and consisted of only three coaches, one of them a baggage car. Anyway, as we rode along, I got acquainted with a man sitting next to me and found that we had at least one thing in common. His name was Finley, and he was the treasurer of the Rodeo Association.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Autry. This should be quite an affair.
I certainly hope so, Mr. Finley.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it at all. There's going to be plenty of top cowboys, some mighty tough bucking stock, and in case you didn't know it, there's $10,000 in prize money for the... Wonder why the plane is slowing down here. We haven't arrived at Horseshoe Curve yet, have we?
Well, no, I don't think we...
All right, everybody, this is a holdup. Now, just stay in your seats with your hands over your heads and nobody will get hurt. You, conductor, come here. And don't try pulling that cord. We mean business.
Now, look here.
Shut up. Now, listen, all of you. My partner will pass down the aisle with a sack. Put all the money and jewelry you got in there. Don't try holding nothing back or you'll be sorry. Okay, Joe, let's go.
Well, the two holdup men really knew their business. I'll say that far. They both wore masks. And while one stood at the far end of the car and kept everyone covered, the other went down the aisle collecting pocketbooks and rings and everything else that looked to be of value.
All right, mister, you're next. What's in the satchel?
Why, nothing. Just a few personal papers, that's all.
Yeah? What are you so scared of?
Now, look here, pal.
Shut up, cowboy. I'll get to you in a... Where'd you get the fancy hardware?
At a hardware store. And what's it to you?
Hand it over. Just in case your little chum here is lying to me, I think I'll take his satchel, too.
But you can't do that. That's mine. I won't let you have it.
That's what you think. All right, Dick, let's get going. Now, don't any of you get any funny ideas about following us, so this gun I got in my hand might just accidentally go off.
Stop him, somebody! Stop him!
Now, take it easy, Mr. Finley. Take it easy. There's nothing anybody can do right now.
But you don't understand. My satchel, Mr. Autry. In that satchel was all the rodeo prize money. $10,000 in cash.
$10,000. But why had Mr. Finley been carrying all that cash around in an unguarded satchel? In fact, I remember I was just about to ask him when the train started up. I changed my mind. As for Mr. Finley, well, he just sat there, a blank, unbelievable look on his face for the rest of the trip. Anyway, finally, about an hour later, the train pulled into Pine City. Then Mr. Finley and I got off. Crowd started yelling. The band started playing, and the mayor came forward to greet us. Mr. Mayor, but...
This is the time when we relive the old days of the West. The old days of gold mining and stagecoaches.
But, Mr. Mayor...
The days of gunplay and lawlessness. Of pioneers of train robberies. By the way, Mr. Autry, how did you like that little fake holdup we staged for your benefit on the train?
What? You mean that holdup was only a fake?
Why, of course.
Oh, thank goodness for that. I thought I'd lost the $10,000 prize money.
Oh, my, no, Mr. Finley. It was all planned. Solely to give you and the other train passengers, including Mr. Autry here, a little excitement. You know, sort of get you in the spirit of the good old frontier days. Tell me, did the bandits really give you a scare with those blank guns?
I should say they did.
Pardon me, Mr. Mayor, but did you say those guns contained blanks?
Why, yes, certainly. It was all just a big joke. Why do you ask?
Because the chamber of the six gun I just looked at a while ago didn't contain blanks.
What?
The two guys you sent out to stage that fake train
holdup. Good. There, you see, Austin? Tell them I want to see them at once, then.
Well, I'm afraid that ain't possible, Mr. Mayor. They're both dead.
Oh, but this is terrible. Terrible, I tell you. Two men killed, the conductor badly hurt, and $10,000 in cash stolen. Something's got to be done.
Look, Mr. Mayor, everything that can be done is being done. In the meantime, well, tell me, did anyone but yourself and the city council know about this, this fake holdup?
Oh, certainly not. No one that I know of.
How about the conductor?
Oh, come now, Mr. Autry. Certainly you can't suspect him of any part of this business. Why, he was severely beaten by the very men who robbed the train.
Oh, just checking, Mr. Mayor, just checking. What about Finley? Do you trust him?
Of course, he's always been honest. I don't know what to think. It's getting so I don't even trust myself. Anyway, I'm certain Mr. Finley didn't know anything about the fake holdup we planned.
Okay. Can you think of anyone else who might be able to give us a lead?
No one. Absolutely no one. Oh, what are we going to do, Mr. Autry? What are we going to do?
Well, for now, suppose we start at the beginning.
The beginning?
Yeah. Check and find out where the engineer who ran that train lives. I want to go over and have a talk with him. Herb Sutton, the engineer, more than willing to tell me anything I wanted to know. The only trouble was, all his answers were pretty much routine. That is, they were until he just happened to mention one small thing. He said he remembered. The one small thing was all I needed. I quickly thanked him, went straight to the home of Mr. Finley, the rodeo treasurer, the man who had been robbed of the $10,000 in the first place.
Mr. Autry, what are you doing here at this time of night?
Looking for $10,000, Mr. Finley. I want you to get dressed and come with me.
But what can I do?
I don't know for sure just yet. I'll let you know later.
But I'm not feeling so well. Maybe you'd better go alone.
What's the matter, Mr. Finley? Don't you want to get that money back?
Well, all right. Come inside and wait. I'll be right with you.
Fifteen minutes later, Mr. Finley and I were walking up the front steps of a house way over on the other side of town. But before knocking at the front door, I played a hunch and looked in the window. There, standing with his back to us, in the middle of the room, George Davis, the conductor, his bags about half packed. And all the stolen valuables, including Mr. Finley's satchel and my guns, spread out around him on the floor. Quietly, I walked back to the door, and then suddenly...
Getting ready to go somewhere, Mr. Davis?
Huh? Autry.
That's right. Surprised?
Oh, no, that is, I was just, I can explain everything.
Including the train robbery, I'll bet.
Now, wait a minute. You can't pin that on me. If you don't believe me, look at my head. You don't think I'd do that to myself, do you?
I'll admit that had me fooled for a while, except for one thing. I got to wondering why you came over and stood by Mr. Finley in the aisle of the train while the robbery was going on. It was to tip off your man that Finley was the one with the money, wasn't it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, then I'll explain further. It didn't take much checking for you to know that Mr. Finley here would be bringing the $10,000 prize money in on your train. Just as it didn't take much checking to find out about the fake holdup that was planned. The way the mayor and his council talked, I don't doubt that half the town knew about it.
You're making this up, Audrey. You're trying to frame me.
I'm afraid you took care of that yourself, Davis. When you signaled the engineer to slow down long before you got to Horseshoe Curve, so that your two masked chums could get aboard.
Okay, wise guy, you're so smart. You know all the answers. Try figuring out what you're going to do about this.
Oh, please, Mr. Davis, I beg of you, put that weapon down.
What's the matter, Finley? Don't tell me you're scared.
You're the one who's scared, Davis. Otherwise, you wouldn't have that gun in your hand.
Yeah? Well, suppose we just see how scared I am. Especially with your guns, Autry.
You know, Davis, even you should know better than that.
Huh? What do you mean?
I mean trying to shoot anything with my guns.
What's wrong with them?
Why, nothing. Except they're the guns I use in my shooting act at the rodeo. And they're loaded with blanks.
Blanks? I don't believe it.
Okay, I'll show you.
Oh, my goodness. Are you all right, Mr. Autry?
Yeah, I'm okay, Mr. Finley. A couple of more minutes, though, and our friend here might have really shot the place up.
I should say... Oh, no. Didn't you say those guns of yours contain blanks?
Are you kidding? Who ever heard of doing a shooting act in a rodeo with blanks? Those bullets were real.
Oh, no. I think I'm going to faint.
That brings us right up to Cowboy Classic time here at Melody Ranch. And even though this next song can't exactly be called a cowboy classic, it certainly makes a mighty welcome guest to our Western Musical Hall of Fame. Listen and see if you don't agree as the boys and girls join me in singing. When day is done and shadows fall, I dream. When day
think of all the joys we knew, that yearning, returning to hold you in my arms. Won't go, love, I know, love, without you, night has lost its charms. When day is done and grass is wet with twilight's dew, my lonely heart is sinking with the sun. Although I miss your tender kiss the whole day,
got another swell get-together lined up for you at the same time and over these same stations, so try and join us then, won't you? Meantime, this is Gene Autry asking you to keep thinking of us until we're back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gentle weed, I'm back in the saddle again. Riding the range once more.